Welcome back to Career Explorers. It's where we speak to those living the job and give you a window into a day in the life. So maybe you're a student and you're looking at things from a fresh pair of eyes and you don't know where to begin. Maybe you're looking to go back to school, or maybe you're already in that job, but you're looking to make a switch. Either way, we're going to take a look at careers that are done right here in Hartford and beyond that you can do too. And we're going to give you a glimpse into the field. So maybe the healthcare profession is your destination. So many ways that you can specialize in helping people live better lives. And by being able to hear your environment, you'll be doing exactly that as an audiologist. There's a lot we take for granted every single day, the ability to hear. It's one of our major senses. And with me on Career Explorers is Dr. Bethany Anderson from Hearing Associates in Bel Air. And they're going to talk to us today about what it takes for you to become this role. Dr. Anderson, thanks so much for coming on to Career Explorers.
Thank you so much for having me. I should also say that we have two locations. We have a location in Bel Air, but we also have a location in Havre de Grace.
Okay, so you're around Hartford County.
Yes, I'm getting around Hartford County.
Very good. So let me start off with this question, because this is unique for everyone. Talk to me a little bit about maybe your personal journey into the job. How did you find audiology?
So I can say that most people who find audiology usually start college as like a speech therapy major.
Okay.
And in their kind of journey, they realize that audiology is an option. And so they then go and pursue audiology. For me, I actually, growing up, my mom had a friend who was an audiologist. And so I've always been familiar with the career, but I didn't actually pursue it until I graduated from college. So I graduated from college in 2010. My background is actually in public health. So I have my master's in public health. And then I went back to school to do audiology. So audiology for me, my goal is to blend the public health world with the audiology world. I do have people in my family who have hearing loss, both on my mom's side and my dad's side.
Okay.
Some were born with hearing loss and some developed hearing loss as they got older or in their childhood. But audiology is actually one of the few areas of healthcare that doesn't utilize public health in the way that like other areas of healthcare do. So that's kind of what brought me to the field. So I went back to school, kind of like some of your listeners. I went back at 30 and I started the AED program at Towson.
That's great.
Thank you.
It sounds like you had some influences there
from
kind of an early age, right?
Yeah, I did.
So you had some family members, right?
I did. Yeah. I do, yes. On my father's side, my grandmother and all of her sisters got really ill as children, and my family is from a more rural area of Jamaica. So they ended up, after the illness, after they recovered, they actually didn't have their hearing after that illness.
Wow.
And then on my mother's side, I have a cousin who, she's a twin, and she was born with a profound hearing loss, and her sister was born with normal hearing. So I've had kind of the experience on both sides. And then, of course, you know, as we age, people's hearing tends to go down, and then there's noise-induced hearing loss and things like that. So I have seen that also in my family, but the two kind of, I guess, anchor members were my grandmother and my cousin.
So, and it's so important, right? When you have those influences at a young age in your life, because that can help set you on that path.
Absolutely, absolutely.
And I know you talked about things like noise-induced hearing loss.
Mm-hmm.
I myself have tinnitus.
Okay.
So, and I'll be asking you about some of these different, you know, difficulties in hearing. And we'll touch on that in just a second. But I really want to just, you know, start to hone in here, because it takes time to develop this kind of medical knowledge. talk to me a little bit about what it takes to become that audiologist. Like, talk to me about some job skills. What's the training and the education look like?
So obviously you have to finish high school, right. And then you, well, maybe not have to, but you have to have some kind of diploma or GED to get into college. Then there's a 4-year undergrad. So a lot of people usually will study like speech or the speech and audiology undergraduate. There are some people who will study like psychology or me, myself, I did behavioral science with a public health emphasis. So that was my undergraduate degree. But you do need a 4-year undergraduate degree. And then there is the clinical doctoral program. Most schools have a 4-year clinical doctoral program. There are a few schools that are actually moving to a 3-year doctoral program. So everything, as opposed to having it in 4 years, they're doing it in 3.
So right now we're looking at about 8 years, right?
About 8 years is the typical, yeah.
Okay, great. So if I'm an audiologist, what other kind of job skills would I have? Obviously, attention to detail, right?
Right, definitely.
You want to be a good listener,
yes,
too.
Yes, you do. You know,
that's kind of right. Part and partial to the whole gig.
Yeah, so definitely being a good listener, paying attention to detail, being a people person because you are interacting with people on a regular basis.
Right.
Unless you're doing research, there are research audiologists, so that is an option if you really just wanted to get into studying hearing loss or people who are looking at, tinnitus or different areas of research within audiology, then you could also do research. So that still goes into like the attention to detail. And it doesn't necessarily have to be like you want to have be like well-rounded in who you are interacting with. I don't really see a lot of children, but like being able to work with kids is a plus. Being able to work with older adults is also a plus. And then knowing that, like, I guess flexibility in your day, because your days don't always look the same. So for the most part, you may see a lot of the same things, but every once in a while, you'll have to kind of extend an appointment or ask someone to come back for a follow-up or, shorten an appointment or turn on your counseling hat because you're having to tell your patient, Whoa. Sometimes that, your hearing loss is, do have hearing loss, it's not wax, or, trying to encourage them to consider hearing devices. So because there's still a stigma around wearing hearing aids, it's not as much as it used to be, but a lot of people aren't ready to accept that they have hearing loss. So you do have to be able to kind of counsel throughout their journey as well.
Didn't think about that.
Yeah.
You really do. You have to almost be like that counselor, because that's heavy information.
Absolutely. And, having to talk to family members, whether it's the parent having to tell them that their child has hearing loss or telling a family member that their parents have hearing loss or, learning more about their health history, because a lot of other things can cause hearing loss or has a relationship with hearing loss. There's a lot of research about like cognitive decline in hearing loss. And so we're coming into having to educate family members about that. And it can be a really difficult conversation to have. So yeah.
So there's a lot of hats.
Yeah, there are. I don't wear just one hat.
That's a lot of jobs, right?
Yeah,
that's
absolutely.
A lot of jobs in the here and now. And being able to be multitasking, so it really does sound like there's kind of these different parallels in the medical field, that you have to kind of develop these different sets of skills for to be successful. Attention to detail, got to be a people person. At times, that counselor to break news to people. And, we didn't touch on this just yet, but technology, we talked about hearing aids.
Mm-hmm.
The technology has changed.
It has.
Over the years.
It has.
Things have gotten smaller. I mean, we're recording this interview on a micro SD card. I don't think anybody imagined that something, like 5 centimeters right. in length, you know, millimeters in length. See, I'm not a math major.
That's okay.
You know, that's, but the technology really has just grown in leaps and bounds.
Absolutely.
And that's important, you know, staying up to date with technology. So talk to me a little bit about some of the ways that this technology has advanced in the audiology world.
Yeah. So some of the things that people have concerns about is making sure that the hearing is as natural as possible. And back when, like, hearing aids, I guess, kind of first came out, it wasn't as integrated with, like, how your brain works. So a lot of hearing aids now use something called deep neural network. So it basically is machine learning that mimics how the brain works.
And its structure.
Yeah, it's really, really cool. So it will kind of assess your environment and make the improvements where it needs to. It'll suppress background noise. It'll increase speech detection apps. So, like, if you can connect them to your phone, you can do volume control and change programs and create custom programs through an app on the phone. Yeah.
Wait a minute. I got a tangent on this just a little bit.
Yeah.
You can control your hearing aid from an app on your smartphone.
Yeah. Yep. You can also connect them and use them like regular Bluetooth headsets. So, like, if you wanted to take your phone calls, listen to music, listen to podcasts, you can do that all through the hearing aids as well.
You just blew my mind. You realize that you just blew my mind.
Yeah.
I had no idea that there was so much heavy, this is high level technology being integrated.
They've really done a good job of, like, making it more, I don't say appealing, but it does more things for the person. So that is definitely a draw for a lot of people. Some things that we also have in the hearing aid for some manufacturers, there's fall detection. So, like, if an older adult wants to live independently, they can actually set an alert. So instead of wearing, like, a life alert, the hearing aids will actually detect their fall and send out an alert to their emergency contact. Yeah.
That's crazy. That's beautiful.
It is.
And that's technology.
Yeah.
Just staring you right in the face.
It is.
How do you keep up with all of this?
So there's a lot of, like, trainings. There are always constantly, like, webinars and things like that okay. we have to kind of keep up on with the technology. And every manufacturer has different things that they kind of highlight. So there's a lot of learning. You don't just finish school. You are constantly having to learn. You do have to do, like, a lot of learning afterwards.
I love that.
Yeah.
I absolutely love that because, you know, one of the things here at HCC that we always tell our students, you're never going to stop learning.
We really don't.
And it sounds like here in the field of audiology, there's always continuous education
absolutely.
And learning.
Yeah.
And that's just how... That's one of the best ways to, you know, keep learning because things are going to evolve.
Mm-hmm.
And there's different kinds of hearing aids, right?
Yeah, there are.
Are there still over the ear?
So they have, like, a behind the ear style. So that one could be what's called a BTE or behind the ear or a RIC, which the receiver is actually in your ear. Then there's a custom hearing aid. So that one would actually be shaped to your ear. Just to kind of have more of a flush look versus having something behind the ear. So there are those options for hearing aids, but there's also cochlear implants. So for people who the hearing aid just isn't enough, then they would have, like, a surgical device that's implanted, and that will kind of take over what the hearing aid would do. That, and then there's even a Baha, which is like a bone. It does bone conduction, so it would actually process sound through a processor that's also surgically implanted, but it would actually essentially kind of vibrate your skull to kind of activate your cochlea. So there's a lot,
you're blowing
there's a lot
my
of
mind.
Really cool things, yeah.
You're blowing my mind.
Yeah.
But and it sounds like there's just so many routes that you can go.
Absolutely.
I mean, you can do so much with this field, and you're helping people hear better.
Yeah.
It's one of our senses.
Exactly.
We often take it for granted.
We do.
I mean, on a daily basis. And there's different kinds of disorders of the ear, too.
Mm-hmm.
And I just want to touch on this because, especially, you know, as people work in the media field, we have a lot of students that wear headphones. Sometimes we wear we listen to music a little bit too loud. I myself have tinnitus. Mm-hmm, all right, mm-hmm. I've called it tinnitus. I think people, I don't know, it's not as bad as some, mm-hmm. but it is there, and it can be a pain in the butt.
Yeah.
Is there any hope for people like that, or?
So tinnitus, I can just kind of explain a little bit about what that is. So it really is your brain thinks that something is wrong, and it's trying to correct for it, and that sound that you're hearing is what your brain thinks it needs.
Right.
So for some people, it can be related to medications, because that could be a side effect. For some people, it could be because of stress. So in high stress times, they may notice that they're hearing that sound. And then for most people, it's something hearing related, whether it's a temporary shift in their hearing or a permanent shift in their hearing, or even something that may be a little bit deeper that might not show up on a hearing test, but it may be something that's ear related. So for a lot of people, it really is because of hearing something hearing related that they're hearing that sound. And everybody's sound is different. So some people hear like a ringing or a buzzing or a chirping or a humming, and some people hear cicadas, some people hear music notes, some people hear songs. So everybody's tinnitus or tinnitus, however you pronounce it, is going to be different. And it's not something that other people can hear. It's something that only you can hear. And that kind of makes it an area that's not as well known. Like, we are learning a lot about it, but there's still so much to learn about it. But for most people, when it is hearing related, then just giving them access to the frequencies that they're missing gives their brain enough stimulation that they're not focusing on the tinnitus as much. It just gives them kind of, it almost like relaxes them and just gives their brain something else to pay attention to. Wow. Because now it's not feeling the need to focus on that sound.
So that's why I have, say, white noise mm-hmm, in the background mm-hmm. or, you know, peaceful, tranquil waterfalls yeah. on YouTube. And it's missing frequencies that I didn't know that I was missing. So,
and I mean, we hear between 20 hertz and around 20,000 hertz. Right. So your hearing the loss could be along any of those frequencies. We tend to test between 250 and 8,000, and because those are kind of the frequencies that we use on a day-to-day basis. But if there's anything beyond that, then there would be more testing that would be involved to determine if it's more of a higher frequency loss or something within what we tend to test. But I would say the majority of people who come in and it's tinnitus, they're complaining about tinnitus, they usually have hearing loss.
And there, yeah. But there's ways to combat it, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah, there's sound therapy,
right? There's sound therapy, hearing aids.
Hearing aids can correct for
hearing
it.
Aids okay. can help, yes.
Okay, great.
So again, when they're having access to those frequencies, their brain isn't focusing on that sound as much, so they're able to get through their days and kind of focus on what they need to focus on. Sound therapy, yes. Actually, that is built into hearing aids. So for my patients who have tinnitus and the hearing aids isn't enough, then we can actually turn on almost like a sound therapy within the hearing aids. Yeah.
You're blowing my mind, Dr. Yeah. Anderson. There's so many things that I didn't know.
Yeah.
And it's been a while since I've had, I should probably come make
you
an appointment.
Come on in.
Wow. But you know, there's other things too,
yeah.
other than tinnitus. And you mentioned wax. Wax can mm-hmm. be a conductive
yeah.
form of hearing loss.
Yeah. You would be surprised at how little amount of wax will take to lose your hearing. So like you said, it's a conductive loss, so the sound isn't able to bypass the wax to get to the eardrum, but you're still able to hear because of that vibration from like the sound, usually on another part of your body, or the sound just has to be a lot louder than how you normally hear it. Another thing is hyperacusis. So people who have like a lot of sensitivity to sounds is something that we would also kind of, there are audiologists who actually are dedicated to that. Hyperacusis, actually, you see a lot with people who have tinnitus. So in addition to hearing that sound, they also have sensitivity to other sounds as well.
And that can cause different symptoms, right?
So mostly anxiety and things like that. Wow. Yeah. So
many different things
that
can obstruct your hearing and age. We talked about that just a little bit earlier in the program. Age is also a factor, right?
And that's a kind of a natural part of aging. Unfortunately, we lose our hearing. Usually we tend to see a higher frequency loss with more normal hearing in those lower frequencies. So the way that we hear, there's hearing and then there's clarity. So I know you work in radio, so you're kind of familiar with some of the things. But
we are, yes, indeed.
So when people, sometimes people will say, I can hear, but I don't understand. And it's because a lot of those sounds that allow us to understand or to distinguish what somebody is saying tend to be higher frequency sounds. So if you have poor higher frequencies and better lower frequencies, then you are able to hear, because volume sounds tend to be lower frequency sounds. Clarity sounds tend to be higher frequency sounds. So a lot of older adults will say, oh, you're just mumbling, or, you know, I heard you, or please repeat yourself. And it's because they heard you, but they didn't necessarily understand what was being said.
So many different things can cause hearing loss. It sounds like wax. It sounds like, tinnitus, you know, hearing loss, age.
Dizziness, vertigo. Because our balance system, the majority of it is actually housed in your ears.
Wow.
So we also see a lot of people who have dizziness, vertigo, or other inner ear issues.
And these are all things that, as an audiologist, that you're helping the population screen for these kinds of things, these kinds of age-related and just physical ailments is the right word?
Sure.
I mean, but talk to me just a little bit about where internships play a role.
Yeah.
Because getting back to our students, they always ask, well, what's something that you recommend that I do? And I always tell them, intern early, intern often.
Yeah.
And so I imagine this is a medical field. Talk to me, how important is that internship or that externship in the audiology field?
So you actually have an externship built into your four-year program.
Okay.
So in undergrad, I can't really speak too much about the internship and externship experience, but because that's not what I studied. But when I was getting into the program, I did have to do 25 hours of shadowing an audiologist. I was at the time working at Howard University Hospital in Washington, D.C., and the audiologist there allowed me to shadow her on a lot of her appointments. So I got to see hearing tests, I got to see vestibular testing, which a lot of students don't always get the opportunity to see before they get into an AUD program. So that was really great.
Wow.
So networking, meeting audiologists who, if you're interested, being able to see like what they do on a day-to-day basis is also really important. Throughout your time in the program, you're constantly doing clinical hours, just so that you can familiarize yourself and you get exposure to different areas of audiology. And then in your last year, you have to do an externship. So that externship is usually somewhere around 1,800 hours. So it's basically like Monday to Friday, 9 to 5. And when you're doing that, you're building your clinical hours, building your skills in that. So in a four-year program, that last year is all externship. In a three-year program, your last year would be a mixture of externship and classwork. So a four-year program, you do your classwork, you're done by year three, so that year four, you are only doing externship and building those skills. So if you're interested in audiology and you're looking at, should I do a three-year or a four-year, the 3 years definitely faster.
A little bit.
But if you're somebody who like might get overwhelmed from having to do coursework after coming home from a day of working with patients, then you might want to consider a 4-year program.
So it's built in.
It's built in.
It's built in. You don't have a choice.
You don't have a choice, yeah. Right?
This is internships.
Yeah, yeah. And then you still have to, once you're an audiologist, take a licensing exam, which is dependent on which state you live in. And you still, like I said, have continuing education hours to do.
Never stop learning.
You never stop learning.
No. But that's a good thing because things change, you know, so rapidly in any medical field. And if you're listening, our students, intern early, intern often. If you go the route of audiology, it's going to be built in. So expect it.
Yeah.
So let's say I have those 8 years under my belt.
Mm-hmm.
I'm walking into the office. I'm an audiologist. Talk to me maybe about a day in the life. When we first started talking, you said no day's the same.
Mm-hmm.
And that makes things interesting. But let's say I walk into the office, kind of give me like maybe an example of what I'm in for. What's like the day-to-day look like?
So I will say that there are so many different industries within audiology. So my day won't necessarily look like somebody who is in an ENT practice or somebody who works in research or somebody who works for a manufacturer, everybody, or even pediatrics. So there are several different areas. I've kind of highlighted the majority of them.
Okay.
The other one would be like an educational audiologist, so working within a school. So you can work in the school system. You can work in, like I said, research. Then I'm in private practice, so I tend to see a lot more older adults, but I'm starting to see a lot of younger people too. So under 40, some people in their 20s, but it really does depend. So I tend to do a lot of hearing tests, a lot of hearing aid fittings, a lot of counseling, a lot of setting realistic expectations for my patients, because the hearing aids are not replacing your hearing. It's just giving aid to what you have, and then also preserving what you have as much as possible. So sometimes patients come in and they're like, I don't want anyone to see my hearing aids, but I want them to do this, that, and the third. And I'm just like, okay, so you might have to sacrifice it being discreet for it having all the capabilities, because that's not always going to be a realistic match. Or, you know, you might have a profound loss, but you want the people to not be able to see your hearing aids. And it's just like, then there's almost no purpose in wearing them, because you need as much power as possible. And that wouldn't be possible in like a smaller device. Every day is different. Like I said, sometimes I see children. A lot of times I see them after they've like come off of like an ear infection, or they might have failed their school screening. I used to work in at the hospital. I used to screen babies' hearing. So like when they were born, every baby, unless you, there's a lot of paperwork, but you can opt out of it. But there is like a mandatory hearing screening, because there are children who are born with hearing loss, and the screening is really to determine whether or not a child has to go for a full test. And if they pass that screening, then we can determine that there's likely not any hearing loss. But then there's kids who develop hearing loss after that screening. So that's something that I used to do. Some older adults I see like perforations in their ear, or I'm cleaning wax, or I have had patients come in with bugs in their ears and earbuds from their hearing aids and things like that. Yes, he really did have, he had a whole stink bug in his ear. And
They
get everywhere, and it was great. He came in with a biohazard bag, because I wasn't sure, and I was just like, let me send him to ENT just to make sure. And I sent him to the ENT, and they pulled out a stink bug out of his ear. So
oh my God.
There's also the times where you have to know when to refer to a medical doctor. So we work very closely with ENTs. So a lot of my referrals tend to be to an ear, nose, and throat doctor. Yeah.
Again, my mind blown. Bugs yeah. in the ear. Now I'm going to be like covering my ears at night when I go to sleep. But, you know, it's just never the same day.
It's never
twice.
The same day, no.
But it keeps things interesting.
It does.
And from what you've described, there really is. There's a lot of room to move around mm-hmm. this field. Mm-hmm. So it's mm-hmm. very flexible. There's different branches that you can go into.
Yeah.
And not only does that keep things interesting because an audiologist could shift from mm-hmm. different tiers, mm-hmm. but it keeps life from getting stale.
Yeah,
you know?
It does.
And one of the big things that students always want to know, right? I mean, and it's true. I mean, the price of groceries,
yeah.
you know, it's getting up there. I'm like, my heart skips a beat, you know, whenever I walk in to the grocery store. Cars, so expensive mm-hmm. nowadays. It's expensive to live.
Yeah.
So students always want to know, am I going to be able to support myself? You know, and
yeah.
how much money am I going to make? Well, do it because you like the work
yeah.
and it's rewarding.
Yeah.
Money will come later. But because I know we're going to get that student that's, you know, going to, you know, give me the dirty look because I didn't ask this question. What do I expect,
sure.
like, when I first, you know, start yeah. working in audiology? Like, what do I start off with as far as, like, a salary?
So
average.
I feel like I should give you the median. So
okay.
I did go on to the Bureau of Labor Statistics just to see how much, like, an audiologist would make. And it's actually on par with the state of Maryland. So if you stayed in the state of Maryland, you would kind of expect your median to be somewhere around $82,000. And that was as of May of 2022. I work in private practice. So what most private practice audiologists will get a base salary, whatever that number is. And then usually there's a commission. So for like any device sales, there's usually a commission of whatever percentage or flat rate that your audiology practice has. So my salary is a base salary plus commission. So you can make as little or as much as your sales would allow you to. But if you work in a hospital, you might not see that. In industry, you might, or as a, sorry, man, in manufacturing, as a manufacturing audiologist, you might not have that commission. As an educational audiologist, you might not have that commission because you're working within the school system and it's usually just like a flat salary.
Gotcha.
Yeah. So it really does depend. And it also depends on what state you live in. So, like, if you live in Mississippi, you're probably going to make a little less than if you live in, like, D.C. or Maryland or New York. So it really does depend on cost of living and things like that. So,
sounds like pretty good work-life balance for the most part.
Yeah. I don't tend to take work home. Every once in a while, I might have to, like, finish up reports or things like that. But for the most part, like, I go to work. And I get to engage with my patients and things like that. And every once in a while, there might be like a networking opportunity with like one of the manufacturers or something like that. And then I get to kind of relax and try again the next day.
Well, it sounds like there's room to move around.
Yeah.
You can support yourself doing mm-hmm. it. You help people live better lives by hearing their environment. What's not to like about the field of audiology? Any growth trends in the career field?
Yeah. So, again, the Bureau of Labor Statistics, they said that audiology is projected to grow by 11% between 2022 and 2032. So that's actually faster than the average for all occupations. So if you're looking for something that has a need, then this is definitely it. I think a lot of it has to do with the fact that a lot of older adults are wanting to engage in their environments, and we're lessening that stigma of like wearing hearing aids. And I think because hearing aids have so much more to offer, And they're doing such a good job of like analyzing the environment and reducing background noise and increasing speech intelligibility, reducing the listening effort. A lot of older adults are, I think, more like open to trying them. And then it also allows a lot of older adults to like age in place. So, you know, if your concern is like, oh, my grandparents can't hear like the fire alarm, or I'm concerned that my older parent might fall or things like that, then the hearing aids would allow them to kind of live independently for longer. So, yeah.
My last question. Now, externships and internships, mm-hmm. those are built in mm-hmm. to your clinical, but how about shadowing? Can people come to shadow you at Hearing Associates if they're interested?
I am always happy to take students to shadow. I wouldn't have gotten to where I am if someone didn't allow me to shadow. So I would love to be able to, you know, pay it forward. So if someone's interested, I'm more than happy.
So you hear that, HCC students, there are folks here in the medical industry that you can shadow and, you know, get that window into a day in the life. And that's exactly what I hope that we've given you here today. Dr. Anderson, how can they get in touch with you if they'd like to intern with you?
So I'm at Hearing Associates, and my email is Bethany@HearingAssociatesMD.com. I'm also on Instagram, so my Instagram handle is Miss Public Health Audiology, so MRS Public Health Audiology. So you're welcome to follow me there. I don't post as much as I probably should, but I think if I start seeing more interaction, I'll definitely do more on that. So yeah.
Is there anything else that we didn't cover that you'd want to?
Yes.
Okay.
So it is October. October is actually Audiology Awareness Month. So thank you for having me on the show.
I didn't even know that.
And it's also National Protect Your Hearing Month. So just encouraging people to turn down the volume, wear hearing protection when needed in those loud situations. It really only takes one time to lose your hearing. Some people lose it over a period of time, and some people it's really like one time of not wearing hearing protection at the gun range, or one time of going to like a bowling alley or some kind of trauma to the ear. So it's very important to try to protect what you have. Your hearing is the first sensory organ that's developed in utero. And it's kind of, you know, once it's gone. So, you know, our goal is to try to protect it as much as possible.
Treasure it, right?
Yes,
because it's one of your senses that keeps you safe.
Exactly.
And keeps you informed of your environment.
Yeah.
And when you're an audiologist, you can do just that. You can help people with their hearing. I really want to thank my information specialist on Career Explorers today, Dr. Bethany Anderson. Dr. Anderson, thank you so much for coming on to the show.
Thank you so much for having me. This has been really fun.
We're going to have you back again.
Okay, sometime. For sure.
I hope you've enjoyed this episode of Career Explorers. Please like and subscribe to all of HCC's official podcasts, HCC 360, where we discuss Hartford's very best offerings to the community, the Veterans SITREP, where we connect veterans and their families to real usable resources, and this one, WHFC Presents, which keeps you in the know. And the more you know, the better. Until next time, for Career Explorers, I'm Matt Terry. Invest in yourself, Hartford.